Hey, it's good to be back again with you on the broadcast today. I have one precious verse for you. Oftentimes I tell a wee story, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to speak about the promises of God. And in verse 4 of 2 Peter, chapter 1, it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So I want to talk about these exceeding great and precious promises. Now I'm only going to speak about a few of them today. There's so many there. There's thousands, I'm told, thousands of promises in the Bible. Are you sure about that? No, well, yeah, the sources I've read, I bothered to count them up. Yeah, there's a promise for every situation that we're in. And we need to learn not only what these precious promises are, but we need to learn how to cash them in. The Bible is filled with promises for every possible situation that can be experienced by the believer. For every situation, there's a promise. And one of our great mistakes is, hey, listen to me. One of our great mistakes is that we place so little value on the Word of God. Oh, I don't know about that. Well, hey, I'm speaking from my experience and my observations. We tend to pay lip service to the Word. Oh, we need the Word, we need the Word. But we don't meditate on it. We don't claim its promises. We don't look at it and say, how does this affect me? Can I take a stand on this? So I'm going to let you into a wee secret. Are you right? Are you ready? Don't be telling anybody this, but here, are you ready? Here's the secret. We need God's wisdom every day. Do you know what it says in the book of James 1:5? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. And God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given. Wow. When he says, God says, I'll not upbraid you for asking for wisdom. That means I'll not throw it back in your teeth. I'll not revile you for asking for wisdom. Now, did you notice what is the prerequisite for getting wisdom? Did you get it? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Right, so what's the prerequisite for getting wisdom? Well, someone says, that's obvious, it's asking. Let him ask of God. Okay, that's good, yeah. But that's not the prerequisite. No, the prerequisite is lacking. Lacking. If any man lacks wisdom, and if we know we lack wisdom, that's the prerequisite, and it's important. Yeah, it's so important to know that we lack wisdom. A lot of people never get the wisdom of God because they don't know they lack the wisdom of God. They think they can get along just fine. And most people stumble through life without the wisdom of God. They say, I'm all right, I'll get through. I'm just using my common sense. I mean, everybody needs common sense. Why didn't God give you common sense? We just use our common sense and we'll get through. Is that a fact? Did you know that God teaches the direct opposite from such a sentiment? The very opposite? He says, don't ever trust your common sense. Does he actually say that? Well, no, here's what he actually says. He says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not onto your own understanding. That's your common sense. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3:5. And so as Christians, we need to become familiar with the promises. We need to learn to pray the promises. Oh yeah, pray them. Filled with the wisdom of God. We need to learn how to claim them. We need to lay hold of them by faith. Apply them in faith. And so, did you know that Jesus lived on the promises of God? I was just reading earlier Psalm 16. There's so many promises that he was given in there. That's just one of the Psalms. He claimed those promises. Would you like to be with, like Jesus? Live in the Word. Well then, what is it to believe the promises of God? Think about this. We have faith. We believe promises on an everyday basis. Take, for example, you're going to go in an airplane somewhere. You're going to fly to the next city or to the East Coast or the West Coast or somewhere from Australia to New Zealand or in South Africa to wherever. Well, you go online and you look and see, are there airfares, are there schedules? And you look at the schedule that's online, you say, yeah, that's it. And what time would I have to check in? And, you know, they tell you have to check in at such and such and such and such. And you believe that. And there's nothing wrong with believing that. The airline says check in at such and such a time, and you listen. And what do? You act upon it. You go to the airport. You get in line at a certain time, and you check in. That's in a sense, believing. That's similar to trusting the promises. Okay, you see a big ad for in a furniture store for a recliner. It used to be $800, and now it's reduced down to $50, and it's the best ever made. And you go and you try out the recliner. You say, I like that. They don't turn around and say, What do you mean? What recliner? It's not for sale. It's not. No. They made a promise. And I acted and you acted upon the promise and you went in and got it. Well, that's like trusting the promises of God. So let's see some of these promises today. We're not going to get through them all. Far from it. There's thousands of them. But let's see if we can live by some of them. I'm going to give you several of them, several promises. And we need to know them and apply them at every stage of a Christian life. And the first one, a very basic one, is the promise of salvation. We need not only to get saved, we need the promises of God, but to give us assurance that we are saved, we need the promises of God. Now, here's a young Christian. He's going strong. You know, he's been saved for a few months. He's going strong. Never misses a prayer meeting. Always there when the Bible's open. He's going strong. And then, boom, he fails. The devil comes along and says, hey, you're really not saved, are you? A saved person wouldn't do that. Oh, a saved person wouldn't think like that. A saved person wouldn't say that. I've seen that happen too many times. Until you get a hold of the promises, you'll be tossed to and fro. Are you being tossed to and fro? Have you failed? Well, there's promises for you. But I feel saved, and then I feel lost, and then I feel saved, and then I feel lost, and then I feel saved, and then I feel lost, and then I feel saved. Well, the Bible doesn't know anything about that kind of condition. You know, it doesn't say, Bible doesn't teach you must be born again, again, again. No. If you're saved today, and you think you're lost the next day, you need to get a hold of the promises of God, or rather, let the promises get a hold of you. Did you know that there are promises of salvation? Listen, now listen, pull up a chair and pour a cup of coffee, whatever, but listen to me. There's promises of salvation tied up in the very name of Jesus. Yes, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Do you have Jesus? He will save you from your sins. It's bound up in his name. It's a promise.
Will you claim it? Will you take it? Take a hold of it by faith that Jesus will save you from your sins. It's a promise. It's all bound up in his name. And if Jesus has taken a hold of you, you will never be lost. Did you hear me? Never be lost. But if you're not saved, then the name Jesus means nothing to you. He's not saving you. You're lost. If you don't believe in the name of the Son of God, the wrath of God dwells on you. Yeah. But if you've trusted Christ, do you want to hear this promise? There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that word condemnation is sometimes translated damnation. What a promise. It's a promise and it's a prophecy. There's no damnation. There is now, therefore, no damnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, won't you take that for yourself? You don't want to have to worry about whether you're saved or not, or whether your saved friends have gone on to glory. Listen, if you're not saved, here's a great promise. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You'll not perish. What a great promise. You'll not perish. Take it. Hold it. Grasp it into your bosom. Romans 4:5. Unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies, that means declares, not guilty, believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Did you know that salvation begins in heaven? And salvation begins in the heart of God. Let me ask you a question. How old is the gospel? Oh, you say it's 2,000 years old. Jesus was crucified. No. How old is the gospel? Oh, well, there's back in Genesis 3:15. There was the promise of redemption and everything. So it's as old as Genesis. No. How old is the gospel? Let me tell you. The gospel is as old as God himself. That's how old the gospel is. God has reached down from heaven while we were ungodly, and he opened our eyes and he gave the gift of faith and now declares us as righteous. Wow. While we were ungodly, the hand of God reached down in mercy and grace, and God declares that the man is just as perfect as Christ. Those who are saved, they're just as perfect as Christ. Oh, but you say Romans 4:5, I listen to that. That's a statement. That's not a promise. No, it's both. Make it a promise. Claim it as a promise. Pray it as a promise. Likewise with Ephesians 2:8-9. Saved by grace through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, it's not of works. Claim that. Claim that. Thank God for that. Yeah, isn't it time to stand on the word? Isn't it time to take the word seriously? And I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. I'm not preaching down at you. Oh, I'm embarrassed by how little of the word I know. What was I saying? Yeah, marvelous promises of salvation. Did you know there's the promise that God will not only forgive us when we sin, but will maintain us in fellowship with him? Boy, that's great. All of us, after we are saved, we have, listen to me, we have the same Adamic nature, or the flesh, whatever way you want to call it. When we are born again, we're given a new nature, where there's a new life comes into us. But the only problem is the old nature, the flesh, whatever, it doesn't leave. And we seem to be, we have two natures. And this is illustrated in the Bible. Jacob, his name was supplanter. And then God one time changed his name to Israel, which means someone who rules with God, from Jacob to Israel. And then the Lord met Simon, Simon Peter, and Simon means, the name means wishy, washy, and weak. And he changes his name to one of strength, to Peter. See, one was the old life, now we have a new life. Saul of Tarsus had his name changed to Paul. Saul of Tarsus had one nature, now Paul has two. There's that new nature is the spiritual side. It keeps us in touch with God. It hungers for the word. It hungers for prayer. And the flesh is still there, and the flesh wants to rule, and the flesh wants to fill our mind with nonsense. Yeah. That old flesh is never eradicated. That old nature is not, that doesn't happen. It's always with us. And we need to deal with it day by day as it arises. How wonderful then it is to have promises. Promises such as 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Faithful to his own word. But he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his glory. 1 John 2:1, I write these things that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Notice, did you notice? Our advocate is with the Father, and that's a great deal for us, because the judge is our Father, not like so many earthly fathers, a Father who's for us, who's kind and generous and merciful and loving and gracious. He's our judge. His throne is a throne of grace and a throne of mercy, and our advocate, Jesus, remember his name? He shall save his people from their sins. He's acting on behalf of his people. Wow. That's marvelous stuff, isn't it? He is termed Jesus Christ the righteous. His clients are guilty, but he is righteous. And he finds no basis in us to plead for us. No basis in us. For we're all guilty. And so do you know what he does? He pleads his own righteousness on our behalf. His righteousness is imputed, credited to, reckoned to us. We're justified, declared not guilty, just as if we had never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? Well, are there any more promises? Well, yeah. How about this one? There's a promise that God will never forsake his people. We are his. Oh, yeah, I became his 20 years ago. No. If you are his, you became his way back in eternity. We are his from eternity to eternity. We are his. He chose us. We are his. He set his grace upon us. He set his love upon us. He set his choice upon us. And if you think that he did that, but I still can be lost, well, you don't understand a whole lot about eternity yet. I'm not preaching at you, but just enjoy it, that he saved you by his grace. Grace means nothing to do with us. He didn't look at it and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to choose that one because that one will believe in me. No. He chose. And say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, you chose me. I have no idea why you chose me, because I find it so hard to be a Christian. I find it so hard to walk uprightly. And he chose you, not because of works. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not of works. Yeah, because you know what? If it was something to do with works, we would be at the top of the line of bragging, braggarts. We'd boast that, yeah, he chose me. Look at me. Look at me. No, there's nothing about us that is desirable, but he chose us. And he'll never forsake us. It's an impossibility. for us to be lost. A person who has been justified, saved, has been made alive in Christ. Did you hear that? And you'll never get out of Christ. And when your emotions tell you that you'll be finally lost, and your head is dropped down, and you're beating your chest, and hey, you need to claim the promises. Well, is there any particular promise that you would recommend? Yeah. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Wow. Being confident. Listen to it again. Being confident of this very thing. Confident. Did you hear that? Confident. Of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you, that's God, will perform it. He'll complete it. And he'll keep doing it until you're ready, until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a great promise. Hey, God never starts anything that he doesn't finish. You know, back in Ireland, there's a place called Dingle. Wonderful little place. Wonderful, right on the coast in the Kerry, the County Kerry. And all this is years ago, but there was one handyman in the whole village. His name was Dave, and he was the handyman. And if you wanted a little, you know, something fixed, call Dave. There wasn't anybody else call. You called Dave. But the trouble with Dave is, yeah, hello, he would come out to see your job. He would start work on it. He would never finish it. And he was called, nicknamed, Partially Dave. Yeah. Oh, look, the taps in the sink are broken. Oh, better call Partially Dave. That's not the right accent. Call Partially Dave. Well, are we calling God partially God? Is God a partial? Does he just start something and not finish it? Oh, no. God never reaches down and takes a hold of us and gives us new life without intending to complete the work. And I know he'll never forsake you, because there's another promise. You want to hear the other promise? Not just Philippians 1:6. But he'll never forsake you, because that's what he promised in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you thinking you're going to be lost? Listen to it again. He has said, God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but the Greek scholars tell me that in the Greek, in this sentence, there are five negatives. And that's the strongest possibility, the strongest possible way of expressing an impossibility. Did you hear that? He that hath said, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. And so the force of this, it's incredible. It expresses an impossibility of being left and forsaken. And it goes like this. If you want a literal translation of the verse, it says, he will, or I will, not at all, in no ways, by no means, in no way, at no time, I will never, 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 never leave you. I will never, 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 never forsake you. Why don't you say amen? Thank you, Jesus.
You know, there's an old hymn, how firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord. And in the last verse of that hymn, the man who wrote the hymn was really translating Hebrews 13:5. That verse says, the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. The soul, though all hell should endeavor to sate,
to shake. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That's right out of Hebrews 13, 15. And when you feel that as if God has turned his back on you, claim this promise. He will never, never leave us or forsake us. When you feel forsaken, claim this promise. Pray it. Lord, you said you would never leave me. I thank you, you'll never leave me. You'll never in no wise leave me. I thank you, Lord, that you'll by no means, and I thank you that in you no way will you at any time leave me, forsake me, abandon me. I've been a sinner, yes, but Lord, you promised. Help me to hate the sin and to follow you with my whole heart. So we need such promises. We need promises such as John 10, verse 27 to 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them 6 months' life. Oh, wait a minute. Did I quote that wrong? Okay. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them 2 years' life. That's the way some people think that reads. No. Do you know if that was the case, there would be no gospel? Gospel means good news. And for Jesus to give us 6 months' life or 2 years' life or 50 years' life, what? That's useless. 50 years will soon be up. But he gives us eternal life. What a promise. And they shall never perish. Never perish. What a promise. Lord, you have said, I will never perish. I do not deserve to never perish, but you said, I'll never perish. And neither shall any man pluck them. That's us. Out of his hand. Nor can we be plucked out of the Father's hand. Oh, my. I hope this has helped somebody today. Let me know if it has. Oh, you don't have to let me know, but if you want somebody to talk to, you'll find me, Miles, at milesmckee.com. If we had time, and maybe next time, I won't guarantee, but we have promises for daily victory over sin. That's a good one. We have promises that God will give us grace to live a life well-pleasing to him. Yeah, and we have promises that God will comfort us in every trial. Can't wait to hear those myself. But here's a summary of today's message. There's promises of salvation, especially in the name of Jesus. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's wonderful, isn't he? He's wonderful. And not only does God forgive us when we sin, here's another promise. He maintains fellowship with us. He doesn't cast us away. He doesn't throw us away. He doesn't make shipwreck of us. No. And he'll never, here's the last one, he'll never forsake his people. I will never, no, never, never, ever, not at all, in no wise, by no means, in no way, at no time, I will never, never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. Claim that. Make it your own. Make that promise your prisoner. What does the hymn say? And we're going to finish with it after a wee word of prayer, but here's the hymn. Standing on the promises, I now can see perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. I'm standing on the promises of God. Let's bow our hearts and pray.
Father, how merciful. You are wonderful. I mean, you give us these incredible promises. You know exactly what we go through. You know exactly what our failings are. You know exactly what our fears are. And yet you've given us a book filled with promises. Would you help us, Lord, to sort them out and claim them and live in them? In Jesus' precious name. Amen.